Side 3, Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire by Steve Perry. Continuing on page 89. He gestured with one arm as the stim wave began to move back up his legs toward his belly. This is not our only concern. We have a business to run. He paused for a moment, and when he spoke again, there was a sharp edge to his voice. Auroral Transportation. Guri nodded. I do not believe the Ten Lost Syndicate knows that Auroral is trying to take over our spice operations in the Baji sector. I suppose we could make them aware of it and allow them to handle it, but that doesn't suit me. I want you to go there and meet with Auroral. Indicate our displeasure at their ambition. Guri nodded again. Before you leave, put in a comm to Darth Vader. I would like to see him at his convenience. Yes, my prince. That will be all. She left, and Zizur watched his bare stomach ridge under the hard stim contraction, forming symmetrical and rounded rectangles. No fat coated those muscles. Sending Guri to deal with Auroral was necessary. Greed never slept, and it was incumbent on Zizur to make certain that everyone knew that to cross Black Sun was to court ruin. Guri by herself would probably be enough to knock the transportation company's leaders back into line, but Zizur never used a wrist slap when a hammer fist was called for. If you damage an enemy, you should damage him enough so that he cannot retaliate. That was a simple truth. He had plans for Auroral, plans that would not only chastise them for their stupidity, but would also further Zizor's aims on other fronts. Everything in the galaxy was interlinked. A spark here could become a conflagration there, if you knew how to fan it properly. He was always looking for links, always checking to see how an event on that side of the galaxy could be made to serve his ends on this side. As in a tri-dimensional hologame, there were small moves that would add up to larger ones. A push at precisely the right place and exactly the right time could, in theory, topple a mountain. And it was his business to know when and where to push. Yes, Auroral would pay for its temerity, and in ways it could not begin to imagine. He leaned back and allowed the myostim machineries to make him stronger. Darth Vader stared at the hologram of Zizor's human droid, Guri.
Very well, he said. Tell your master I will see him. I have business on the Emperor's skyhook. Have him meet me there in 3 standard hours.
Vader broke the connection. What did Zizur want? Whatever it was, he did not believe for a moment that it was to serve the Empire, unless it served Zizur first. The Dark Lord of the Sith stalked through the bowels of his castle to where his personal shuttle was kept. He could have taken the turbolift to the skyhook. Most passengers and cargo were moved to the giant orbiting satellites through their tethers to the surface of the Imperial Center. But he had not stayed alive this long by taking foolish chances. Skyhook lifts seldom malfunctioned, but they were vulnerable to attack from within and without. No, better to be in control of his own armored craft where the dark side could be unleashed, along with laser cannon, if need be. As he walked through one of his spare hallways, Vader considered another problem. For now, the Emperor did not want him to hunt for Luke Skywalker, at least not personally. While the Emperor had not yet spoken of it directly, the construction of the new and more powerful Death Star was behind schedule. Those in charge offered many excuses. Material, workers, constantly changing plans, and the Emperor was growing impatient. Vader was fairly certain that it would be only a matter of time before the Emperor sent him to oversee the lagging project. It was amazing how a general who would drag his feet while out of the Emperor's sight would suddenly learn how to run when paid a visit from one who could call upon the dark side. Those Imperial officers who scoffed at the Force did so out of ignorance. Those who did not fear the power of Darth Vader were those who had never stood face to face with him. Vader did not agree that the Death Star was the invincible and omnipotent weapon its designers had promised the Emperor. He had heard that tale before, and the ill-equipped rebel forces had showed just how wrong that was with the first Death Star. No, that was not strictly true. It had been Luke Skywalker who had struck the deadly blow, proving to Vader's satisfaction that the Force was more powerful than the most sophisticated and deadliest technology. But the Emperor did not agree, and there was nothing to be done about it. Nor was there anything to be done about being made to wait here. What the Emperor willed was so. Vader reached the shuttle's bay. A guard stood at the door. Is my shuttle ready to launch? It is, Lord Vader. Good. The example he'd made of the technicians in charge the one time it had not been ready when he wished to use it had thus far been sufficient to keep that from happening again. Vader swept past and marched toward his vessel. Very well. He could not seek Luke out in person, but he could arrange for others to do so. Those wheels had already been put in motion. A very large reward and the gratitude of Darth Vader had been offered for whoever brought Skywalker to him alive. That would have to do for now. Why me? Luke said. They were next to the Falcon. Support techs from Rogue Squadron moved in and out of the ship, repairing damage done during the failed attempt on Boba Fett's ship. The big makeshift building hadn't gotten any warmer since they'd arrived. Leia said, Because it's your homeworld, and you're the most familiar with it. Somebody needs to be there to keep an eye out for Boba Fett. You need to practice your Jedi skills, and you need a quiet place to do it. You're the logical choice. Luke shook his head. He didn't like it, and he didn't think Leia was being completely frank with him. Can't your alliance business wait? He asked. No. Take R2 and go back to Ben's house. Lando and Chewie and 3PO and I will meet you there as soon as I am done. Luke sighed. She was probably right, but that didn't make it any easier. All right, but you be careful. After Luke had taken off in his X-Wing with R2, it was a long trip and they'd packed food and water for him, though he'd be ready for a shower when he got there. Leia spoke to Dash Rendar. Are you available for a job? She asked him. Sweetie, I'm always available, if the money is right. I want you to go to Tatooine and keep an eye on Luke. Dash raised an eyebrow. Bodyguard? Sure, I can do that. Kid won't like it if he finds out. So stay out of sight, Leia said. Somebody tried to kill him, and I think they'll try again. How much? Dash named a figure. Lando whistled. Man, you are a bandit, aren't you? The best don't come cheap, Lando. In advance, Princess. Leia smiled. You think so little of me, Dash? Do I look that stupid? 1/3 in advance, 2/3 when we arrive, if he's still alive. I can't guarantee that. I thought you were the best. Dash grinned. I am. Half up front, half when you get there. All right. After she'd paid Dash and he was gone, Leia turned to Lando. All right, let me pose a hypothetical question. If you don't mind a hypothetical answer, go ahead. What would be the best way to contact somebody high up in Black Sun? Lando stared at her as if she'd just told him she could fly by waving her arms. He shook his head. The best way? Don't. Come on, Lando. This is important. Princess, Black Sun is bad news. You don't want to get into bed with them. I'm not planning on getting into bed with them. I just want to rummage through their wardrobe chest. What? Leia said, Somebody just tried to kill Luke. Maybe it was Vader, maybe not. Black Sun has a vast spy net of its own, older, maybe even wider than the Alliance's. They can find out who is responsible. Chewie half grunted, half moaned something. I'm with you, pal, Lando said. He exchanged glances with Chewie. This is a big mistake. Leia continued. But you have the connection and can put me in touch with them, right? It's still a bad idea. Lando. Yeah, I know a few people. She smiled. Good. Where do we find them? 11. The Emperor's skyhook was half again as large as Zizor's and far more opulent. The Dark Prince preferred to keep his best treasures on the ground. He felt they would be safer there. Not that there was any real danger of a skyhook dropping out of the sky. It had happened on Coruscant but once in 100 years, and that had been a freakish combination of a power failure, a solar storm, and a freighter collision. Then again, the Emperor had a lot more treasures than anybody else in the galaxy, and the loss even of a city-sized skyhook would be but a small pale subtracted from his vast sea. Zizor stood on a high, wide terrace overlooking the central park of the huge space habitat. His bodyguards, now at travel strength of an even dozen, formed a semicircle from the balcony's edge with Zizor alone inside it. Here he stared out at full-size evergreen and deciduous trees, some of which topped 30 meters. A section of the park immediately below him was planted and climate-controlled into a fecund jungle, a riot of colorful flowers, electric reds, bright blues, phosphorescent oranges among the verdant hues, those ranging from the palest of greens to a broad-leafed vine whose waxy leaves were almost black. Zizor did not care much for botany, but he knew good work when he saw it. Perhaps he could entice the Emperor's gardener away for his own skyhook? He felt Vader approach before he heard or saw him. The man did have a presence, no doubt about that. Zizor turned and offered a small bow.
Lord Vader. Prince Zizor, you had something to discuss.
No polite small talk, no social niceties from Vader. Almost refreshing, given some of the toadies Zizor encountered.
Almost. Yes, the location of a secret rebel base has come to my attention. I assumed you would want to know of this.
Vader was silent save for his measured mechanical breathing, which suddenly seemed quite loud. Zizor could almost see Vader's brain working, measuring, calculating, wondering. What was the head of Black Sun up to? Zizor kept his face carefully neutral for the recording holocams he knew were watching. His, the Emperor's, Vader's, and whoever else might be good enough to get past the Emperor's security to be spying on them.
Of course, Vader finally said, where is this base? In the Baji sector, out on the rim. The Labea system, hidden on one of the larger Virgesso asteroids. It is my understanding that there is a shipyard full of vessels undergoing repair. Scores, perhaps hundreds of rebel ships, ranging from fighters to troop carriers.
Vader said nothing.
Destruction of such a base would no doubt greatly cripple the Alliance,
Zizor continued. A bland understatement offered as if ice would not melt upon his tongue. Again, a protracted silence. Then,
I'll have my agents check it out, Vader said. If it is as you say, then the Empire will be indebted to you.
Oh, that must have hurt to have to say that. Zizor gave Vader a courteous nod.
Merely my duty, Lord Vader. No thanks are necessary.
He could almost feel Vader squirming. To have to owe Zizor must have rankled. But what could he do? If this report was true, and certainly it was a succulent and ripe offering. The rebels didn't have so many ships that they could afford to lose any, much less an entire yard full of them. This truly was a service to the Empire. That the shipyard was, unknown to either the rebels or the Empire, owned by Ororo Transportation, the same company that had dared tread on Black Sun's spice operations in that sector, well, so much the better. Here was another way to skewer two eels with one spear. Ororo would be much damaged, and the Emperor's trust in Zizor would be greatly enhanced at the same time. It truly was an ill wave that washed no good ashore. Vader turned and left, black cape flagging behind him. Zizor's bodyguards prudently stepped well aside to allow him to pass. Vader would have to verify the report. The Emperor would send forces to attend to the base. With any luck at all, Vader would be the one dispatched, given the Emperor's well-known disposition regarding such things. You found it? You take care of it. That would get Vader out of the way and allow Zizor a bit more freedom to continue the unfolding of his plan. He turned and looked down at the miniature jungle below. Schemes were like plants in many ways. You put them where you wanted them, fed and watered them, pruned them as needed, and they grew as you expected, by and large. He waved one of his bodyguards over.
My lord.
Find out who is in charge of this.
He waved at the park. Offer him twice the credit he is being paid to come to work on my skyhook.
My lord.
The bodyguard bowed and hurried away. Zizor took a deep breath and inhaled the oxy-rich and jungle-scented air. It smelled very alive, like wet mushrooms and leaf mold and fresh grasses all mixed into a fine odor. Very alive, and he never felt more so himself than when he was manipulating things to his satisfaction. Luke covered the X-Wing with the camo netting and stood back next to R2.
There, that ought to do it.
From the air, the ship should be invisible, and with all its power systems shut down and offline, a flyby wouldn't pick it up on a quick sensor scan. Not that he was particularly scared after the incident with the crew chief. It just made good sense not to let passers-by know there was an Alliance ship parked here. Heat rose from the ground in shimmery waves, and the sun seethed and offered yet more light and warmth than the desert could absorb. The reflections from the sand were actinic and bright, and Luke had to squint against the hard light. He didn't worry too much about somebody just happening to pass by. Nobody came out here without a really good reason. He walked back to the house. He still thought of it as Ben, with R2 rolling along the bumpy ground behind him. The short droid chirped and whistled at him. He sounded concerned, and Luke guessed he was talking about Leia and the others.
Yeah, I know. I worry about them, too.
But they'll be all right, he hoped. Inside, Luke touched the control, and a panel of thin stone on the curved roof slid back and exposed the solar panels hidden underneath. The house had been running in reduced mode on battery power while he'd been gone, and it was not much cooler inside than out. With the panel suddenly feeding the system more power than it could use, the air conditioner kicked on, and a welcome cool breeze blew through the small house. Luke felt grubby from his flight. He stripped and took a long shower. Fortunately, the water condensers had filled the underground tanks while he was away,